Good morning, everyone. Several weeks ago, I was, of course, aware that I would be giving the sermon today. It's always quite compelling to me to get to give this last sermon of the year. And I was thinking about New Year's resolutions that people make. And I was remembering some of them with a little humor, like trying to get on a Stairmaster at the gym in January and, you know, when everybody's just decided that they're going to be working out for the rest of the year. Usually lasts for a few weeks and you have your Stairmasters back or whatever you want. And our meditation classes in January are typically the biggest meditation classes of the year. But it's a good thing. I realize it's a very good thing to take that kind of time and reflect and decide, how would I really like to do better this coming year? How would I like to expand or grow? So I don't really want to be making fun of anybody who does that. I think we all do that. We take our own inventory. It's good. So at that time, I did not know what the reading was about, though I should know. Notice that we read week 53 this week. We did not read week 52. Because I said to myself, I just want to talk about love. That's what I'm going to talk about to everybody as we make a New Year's resolution. What would it mean to just stand up and say to people, love more? That's a good New Year's resolution. And I just decided I would do that. And then yesterday, as I started looking at what the reading was, I realized that Swamiji had written a 53rd reading for those years, I assume, with leap year, that were leap years, whatever reason. And lo and behold, it was all about love. So it was just so perfect. I feel like once again a prayer was answered. He just gave me this material to be able to speak about. Final commandment that Jesus gives to his disciples. It's interesting because it's right at the end of the Gospel of St. John, and this last commandment came at the end of the Last Supper. So it has a kind of power to it. Jesus, of course, knowing he was about to die, though his disciples did not know that, he said this final thing to them. And interestingly, I read yesterday, which I did not know, that it's mentioned 13 times even before in the New Testament. Love each other as I have loved you. And it really does then beg the question, what does that mean? How has God loved us? And the reading itself answers one part of that, and maybe the most important part, that God loves us as himself, because God, in his infinite wisdom, never sees us as anything separate. That's something that we bring to the story, that we're separate from God. It's not what God sees, though. He sees us just as a manifestation of himself, of pure divine love and energy. And in that way, he holds us. But the other thing that Swamiji doesn't say out loud that is so important and meaningful is that he loves us unconditionally. And those words and the feeling that come with it of unconditional love are so powerful. The truth is that many of us in our human lives on this material plane never experience unconditional love. It's hard to get to in a human way. We have our whole family is here visiting us. They arrived the day after Christmas, and there are now 3 children that we've added this year. My partner has 3 new grandchildren. I guess in a way they're my grandchildren too. But I was just looking at these 2 new sets of parents, and the one little girl is 15 months old, so she was here last year. The other 2 or 3 and 4, I've mentioned them here. They came from Taiwan this year. And so they're really new to all of us. But I was watching these parents just love these new additions with just such clarity, and their minds are never off of them, and their eyes are never off of them. And of course, the kids can do no wrong. Every little thing they do, we talk about. And then we talk about the next adorable thing and the next. But we all know, in some ways, that very soon, condition gets added into the equation. You just can't help it. The kids grow up, they're not exactly who maybe we thought they would be, or we're working so hard to make them who we want them to be. And a lot of conditions come in. It's the rare person in this world who can love unconditionally. When we are loved unconditionally, it's transformational. And that is really what Jesus is speaking about. If we can love people without condition, if we can see the divine in every single person at every moment, or quite honestly, in any moment, their lives are transformed. That's what happens. I watched yesterday a little 5-minute blurb of a talk that Swamiji gave in Seattle in 2002. I don't know why it was on the front page of the Ananda.org website, but there it was. The title of it was God is Love. So it just jumped out at me as soon as I went there. Another little bit of perfection and guidance. And Swamiji was, of course, talking about Master when he was talking about God is Love. And he was just telling so many stories about Master, stories that we know, how Master went into a park in the dark at night, and these two people came meaning to rob him, and how he just looked at them with such love and said to them, "Why are you doing this?" And then they just were yelling at him, "What have you done to us? We can't even rob you. We can't do what we wanted to do," because in an instant, they were transformed. Swamiji told a story about, not a story, but related his experience with Master. He said, you know, he didn't sit around every day, all day, just talking very directly about God and his love and what that brings us. He said, sometimes we had to talk about life every day, like, how are we going to get dinner on the table? And as Swamiji put it very cutely, he said, you just have to talk about the potatoes at some point. And it was adorable. But he talked about how many times that was happening, where he would be sitting there, not even being able to see Master, but being able to feel his energy, and how tears would just be streaming down his face and others, because they were in the presence of such extraordinary, loving energy, even when they were talking about just the mundane aspects of life, that they were in love, and how compelling and life-changing that is. When Swamiji went to see Anandamoy Ma in India, and she is the essence of bhakti yoga. Permeated bliss means is what her name means. She just was the quintessential lover. She was a pure manifestation of love, which of course all of these masters are. But Swami said he was sitting there, and he was in Hardwar with her, and he had to get to a train, and he knew it was getting closer to the time where the train would be leaving. And finally, he just looked at her, and if you watch this little blurb, he chokes up, even as he says it, 50 years later, something like that. But he said to her, "Ma, I just can't leave. As long as you're here, I just can't do it." He could not take himself away from such pure love. He said she so sweetly smiled at him, and she got up and left. He said, then I grabbed my bags and I ran to the train station, just making it on at the end. I've had some of these moments in my life. I know I've told this story before about going to a conference many, many years ago. And the story is so compelling for me because I didn't know anything. As I said when I've told it in the past, I had never heard the word Swami at that point in my life. I just knew nothing, but I was drawn or carried, if you will, to this conference. And Swami Satchitananda was there. And boy, he is the quintessential Swami. Long orange robes, white beard down to here. It was like, this is what a Swami is. And he spoke. And at the end of that talk, I don't remember a word he said, not a word. But I looked at my husband and I said to him, I don't know what these words that I'm about to say mean. This is exactly what I said. But my life is different now than it ever was or than I thought it was going to be. What is that? What does that mean when something like that happens? These masters come to bring love. They don't create love, of course. They are love, just to radiate love to us. They come really so that through that love, they can magnetize our hearts to that divine essence. And what does that really mean, magnetize? What does it mean to be so magnetic? This is how Swami describes Master's love. He said Master was love and it was magnetism. And I started thinking about magnetic energy. You know, you don't see electrons and protons running around when you hold magnets together. You just, it's magnetic, that's it. You're there. That is what happens in the presence of these masters. That is what happens in the presence of true love. Nothing else can happen. You're transported. You are transformed. It is so beautiful what they come to do if we can open to it. There's that wonderful story of St. Francis. When he came home from a trip one time, and many of the monks, or his brothers, with a lot of pride, said these hoodlums from town tried to come to the church. They wanted to come in and be in the church. And it was sort of like, but don't worry, Master, we just threw them out. And Francis was appalled. He said, you have to go and find them. We don't throw anybody out. And they did. They went out and they found these men who they had chased out of the church, and they brought them back. And Francis looked at them very much like Master did. He said, why are you living the way you're living? This cannot be bringing you joy. And the people who were there said, in that very instant, they chose to become brothers in the Franciscan order. There's just story after story after story. I remember a woman who I had taken care of at Belmont Hills Hospital, which no longer exists, but it was a psychiatric hospital. And it was an interesting place to do work. I did only the medical work there. But the clients were very often, they would come back again and again and again because it was a hospital. These were seriously impaired people. And one day I was giving a talk at East West, and one of those patients showed up at this talk. And I have no idea what the talk was about. But at the end of the talk, she stood up and she said, this was so dear. She said, I just want you all to know that this woman took care of me when I was in the hospital. And these were her words. She just treated me like I was a perfect person. That's what she said. And she said, I then got well. It was so endearing and so touching. And I realized what a privilege it was to get to practice medicine, which is really all about love, because love heals. Yes, you need to know a little bit of medicine, but really you need to see each person at a time, but one person by one person by one person, as just being perfect, perfectly healthy, perfectly beautiful, perfectly lovable, even though they're not always being perfectly lovable, as most of us can't be. And then people heal. And when we are in the presence of these masters, this is what happens. Asha said it so beautifully the other night. She said, they come to liberate us from our, they come to liberate us from the limitations of our consciousness. That's what she said. Isn't that just perfect? By loving us, just purely by loving us, by that magnetic force. I don't know how many of you were here on New Year's Eve. I want to just share a couple of, a little bit of what Asha said. But I want to say to you, if you were not here, it's online. It was an extraordinarily beautiful talk. It was doing what we're all here trying to do, being channels for this divine love. And she was there, and I just want to say, please watch it. But at one point, Asha, so it was really all about love. But this grabbed me, and this I knew that I would speak about today. She referred to the phrase in our Festival of Light that we say every week. She referred to the phrase that includes the word, the words, wordless yearning. Wordless yearning that we experience. Such a beautiful word, this word, yearning, that Swamiji chose, which is what Asha was talking about. And she went on to say, to talk a little bit about what does that word yearning, what does it conjure up, what does it mean? It means something, and this is all what Asha said, these are not my words, something that we know we couldn't be contented or happy without, something that precedes words, that it comes first and the words come after, and we try and describe that experience, but how seldom we get it right with the words, and how true the feeling of that yearning is before we try and describe it. And what are we yearning for? We are yearning for this unconditional love, to be loved like that, to have that, and that's what we're all looking for. Everybody is always looking for that. It doesn't matter what their lives look like. Swami has a beautiful image that he talks about sunlight and how much the light is diminished by the time it reaches the earth, and then how much it's diminished by the time it gets to us. And then he goes on and he talks about the depths of the ocean. And if you've ever done any scuba diving or even snorkeling, you know what happens to the light. It gets to be less and less and less, but it's still there. There's still life, even on the floor of the ocean. It's really a remarkable thing. So no matter where people are in their life, even if they're just at the place where a little relief from pain in the midst of their darkness feels like a step forward, everybody is yearning for that. And that sense of wordless yearning, because as soon as we bring words, we change the experience. There's a wonderful story about Mira, who is a queen, who is also a bhakti yogi, just a real lover. But she had one great sadness in her life, and that was that she didn't think her husband loved God. He never spoke about his love for God. He never shared anything about it. But her husband was also a true bhakti, but he had told God, he had promised God years before that if anybody ever learned about his love for him, that he would leave his body. Because he didn't want any words applied to that extraordinarily pure love, knowing that the minute we try and speak about those purest experiences, we reduce them in some ways. And one night, she awakened and she heard him talking to God in his sleep. oh, my beloved, I can't live without you. Please come to me. He was going on and on. And when he awoke in the morning, she said, I've learned your secret. And he said, don't say it. Please don't say it. And she said, but I have to say it. I now know you love God as I do. And he immediately went and sat in a lotus posture and left his body. Because there's no way to describe this extraordinary experience. I had an amazing, really very beautiful experience with someone in the congregation a few weeks ago that I wanted to share. This is a woman who I've known for many, many years. And there's never been a problem between us. But there's never been any connection. Every once in a while, a little touch of, maybe we could call it friction. But it wasn't ever bad. It was just never what it could be. So somehow, some beautiful miracle, we both realized that we should get together about it. And I'm sure in getting ready to get together about it, we were both getting our stories in line. And when we sat down, I said to her, I have an idea. Why don't we leave our stories outside of the office? Why don't we come here right now and make a different decision? Just decide how to move forward. And she said to me, I love that idea. She said, I've been carrying it, but I might not have put it in those words. And I said, let's just decide. We will not have to process anything that happened, but we will see God in each other every time we look at each other. And that joy will surface in us, and that is how we will relate. And I'm telling you this story because it was only 3 weeks ago, and it has been a life-transforming experience. I can't speak for her, but from the look on her face, I would think that too. It has gone so beyond the two of us. We genuinely moved into love. We are in love. But it's not the in love that we always talk about. What an amazing way to be able to communicate and to be able to share with people. So what is really that phrase that Swamiji wrote in the reading today? You know, when one of the monks was asking, it might even have been Swamiji, and what about after you're gone? And he said, when I am gone, only love can take my place. But what does that mean to us, really? How can we make sense of that? I've read that over and over. And I thought to myself, there's only one answer we can all decide right now. Just love more. Just make a conscious effort to love everybody we see, not just more, but more expansively, to see them in a different light. It was an instantaneous decision in my office a few weeks ago. And it's changed everything. And of course I know this. I would say I know it. But not like this. Not like when you see it in action. When you just make that decision. What if my New Year's resolution is to bring more love into the world? What if it is to know that when Master said, center everywhere, circumference nowhere, that at the very center of all of our beings is this love? We are that love. That's why they keep coming back and back and back. That's what they keep trying to tell us. Everything I am, you are too. We sit right in the middle of love, and our job, we talk about it, our job is to transcend ego. Our job is to transform our consciousness. Again, words. Our job is to radiate that divine love that we are. We don't have to create it. We don't have to invent it. We just need to start radiating it out to everywhere, all the time, as often as we can, again and again, to live in love. Saint Teresa said it so beautifully. I hope the quote gets anywhere close, because I don't have her quote. But she said, just love more and more as often as you can. She said, don't let anybody come into your presence without leaving feeling better than they did when they first came to see you. That's all. Just love them. Thich Nhat Hanh said, there is no way to enlightenment. Enlightenment is the way. That's another hard one to understand, that he's saying just be in the moment. But I realized, as I was thinking about it this morning, that that's the truth about love. There is no way to love. We don't have to go anywhere to love. Love is the way. In whatever way each of us can start doing it a little more now, before we know it, and in ways we can't imagine, as I said, our lives will be transformed. Frank Laubach, who many of you know, his son put together this book called Letters of a Modern Mystic. He was a missionary who in the early 1900s went to the Philippines. But he was the one who was transformed. And at some point in his writings, he says, this business of trying to be with the divine every moment, by moment, by moment, because that's what he took on. He said, that's hard work. This is hard work. He said, but everything that's coming from it is so simple. Everything's just better. Everything's easier. Everything I'm setting out to do, starting schools, teaching people, communicating with them, learning their language, everything else just flows from this effort that I'm making. I make the effort here, but everything here grows and expands. This is what Master meant when he said, when I am gone, only love can take my place. And it's ours. It's in every one of us. This is what the birth of the Christ child represents. Christ consciousness being born in every one of us, so that we too can be in this world radiating the love that we feel from these masters.